Why don't you turn in your Bible to Philippians, the fourth chapter. I'll be reading from verses 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but rather bring up all your requests to God in prayers and petitions along with giving thanks. And the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, by your word and your spirit, please speak to us now our role that we play in your plan of salvation in this world. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Welcome to Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Chris Lee, the senior pastor here. I'm really glad that we can worship together on this crisp winter morning. Have you ever heard of the term VUCA? If you've been in the Army, you have. It's an acronym that the Army War College put together to describe the experiences that people have had since the Cold War and families have gone through: volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous. Harvard Business Review says VUCA really describes in the vernacular, it's crazy out there. And it is. You think of what we've gone through in the last 6-7 years with terrorist attacks and Great Recession. There's different drug problems that are plaguing our own community as well as the United States. There's a lot of things to be afraid of, and that's why we're addressing in a sermon series how to live unafraid, how to tap into our own spiritual gifts in order to address the most common fears that all of us have. What's interesting is, you know, we know that children have different general fears, but how common adult fears parallel children's fears. You know, kids are afraid of going to the doctor. Parents are afraid of doctor bills. Children are afraid of bad dreams. Adults are afraid of dreams unfulfilled. Children are afraid of strangers. Adults are afraid of social anxiety around strangers. Kids are afraid of clowns. Adults are afraid of clowns. We're all afraid of clowns. The Bible has a lot to say about dealing without fear. The text that we're looking at this morning, Paul is in prison and he's facing a possible death sentence, which ultimately is carried out. So he has a lot to be anxious about and fearful. And yet he's describing a way that he's dealing with that fear. I'm sure this is something that was passed on to him from the disciples of Christ. These must have been a spiritual pattern that Jesus revealed to the disciples about how he dealt with anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything, but rather bring up all your requests to God in prayer and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Christ is such a great example of living without fear. It seemed like he was the most free from fear of any person that I've ever seen revealed in the scriptures or that I've known. He had the ability to just be himself, to say what needed to be said, to do what needed to be done. And that's why any of us would want to live without fear. Fear is the thing that will hold us back. keep us from doing the thing that we should do, we know that we ought to do. It keeps us withdrawn, pulling away, rather than plunging in. Keeps us from a meaningful life that we would like to live, but we don't because of this anxiety. And what I see in this text is how Paul wants us, when our fears come up, to exchange those fears for prayer, that anxiety for thanksgiving. Now, fear is a natural response. It's created within us. Good fear is based on an imminent danger. There's a cave bear out there, and it wants to eat you and your family. And so we have a physical response to that in order to deal with that threat. Bad fear is when those physical triggers go off, those mental triggers go off, and there's no cave bear. It's like the smoke alarm going off in the middle of your house in the middle of the night, and there's no fire. It's just going off. Bad fear has to do with two words: what if? That's when we begin to enter into a world of anxiety, thinking about what if we lose all of our savings? What if I get cancer? What if I don't live to see the kids grow up? Well, you know the long list that we can all come up with of what ifs. Living in that fear deprives us of the energy and the creativity that we'd like to bring into our everyday life if we were living unafraid. There's actually 365 statements in the Bible say, be unafraid. Here's just one example, Psalm 91:5. Don't be afraid of the terrors of night or the arrows that fly in the day. Well, if we know that we're not supposed to live unafraid, why do we? I mean, you've heard this before. What is it about the way that we're approaching our life that isn't allowing us successfully to deal with the anxiety in our life? In the 12-step world, there's a slogan that says, one day at a time. It really ties into Jesus' commandment to pray every day for our daily bread. There's a hint in there of how we're supposed to deal with fear. Rather than faith being something that we settle into, faith is something like a gift that we receive every day. And maybe we need to receive that faith and the benefit of that faith every moment of every day, depending on what we're facing. So we need to talk a little bit about what this pattern is that Paul is laying out for us, probably this pattern that Christ modeled for everyone. And it's this prayer. Rather than this prayer being like a dinnertime prayer, which isn't bad, or a bedtime prayer, rote bedtime prayer, which isn't bad, this is a prayer that is laying it all out to God. We're surrendering ourselves to God. We're being very authentic with God. There's this movie, The Evangelist, and this man comes over to see this woman's son, and you can hear upstairs, there's crashing going on upstairs, there's yelling going on upstairs, there's things breaking upstairs, and the man says to the woman downstairs, where's Buddy? Oh, he's upstairs praying. And sometimes, don't you want to just pray like that? Why don't we? Because honestly, I think that's the type of prayer that we're called into, not necessarily breaking the dishes or the coffee mugs at work, but when we're going through anxiety, rather than just following that rabbit hole, going down that rabbit hole, I say, God, I am really afraid about X. I'm really worried about X. I mean, this is consuming a lot of my time, a lot of my energy, and I don't want to live this way, but I don't know how to stop. God, I really need you to come and help me here. And we don't do that once. In the 12-step, where we say one day at a time, sometimes it's one morning at a time, one afternoon. Sometimes it's one 15-minute segment at a time, honestly, depending on what you're facing. Tied in with this prayer, they aren't separate issues, is this topic of thanksgiving. If you've ever listened to people that are, or listen to yourself, when you're being overcome with fear, everything is myopically focused on the negative. We're just listing off, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is wrong, and this is troubling. And there's little or no gratitude for what's going on. And there is something spiritually powerful about shifting our attention to what's right and what's good. Somehow that transforms our mind and our heart, and it begins to bring us the serenity that I think we all want to live in, even if we have problems, even if we're going through difficult times. Don Baker wrote a book called Thanksgiving Therapy. And it's really just a discussion of the spiritual gift of counting your blessings, even in the midst of trouble. But it takes courage and it takes faith to do that. But if we're not just going to talk about dealing with fear, this week we're actually going to begin to deal differently with the fears that we have, then this is where we're being directed. That something happens when we get really authentic in our prayer and we begin to count our blessings in the midst of our troubles. One man was describing it this way. He said, while he was on a pilgrimage in the Holy Land, he saw a firefight break out between Israelis and Palestinians. He was over on a hill watching this firefight taking place over here, and over on this other side of an embankment over here where, was a shepherd with a flock of sheep. And he said every time a gunshot would take place over here, the sheep would start running around, scurrying around. And he watched this Arab shepherd taking his staff and just touching the sheep, and he was talking very calmly to the sheep. And they'd settle down. They trusted the shepherd. And then another gunshot would go off. And the sheep would scurry around. He'd go around, and he'd calm each one down. And this went on as long as the firefight was going on. I love that illustration because I think that's what our daily life is like. We face these gunshots, if you will, of trouble and trials and phone calls and people coming in and they're unloading this problem and that problem on us. And again, we need to be calmed down. What we're being directed to do is say, Lord, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think I've had a dozen things dumped on my lap today. It's too much. And yet, I do feel like I need to deal with this, and I need your help to deal with this. God, thank you that I have a job. Thank you that I have a home to go home to tonight. Thank you so much that I know your resources are available to me. Please help me. And we pray that through. That's a Pentecostal saying, but what it means is to pray until the anxiety lessens, until you sense the comfort of the Lord, the staff of the Lord, what the Bible calls the finger of the Lord touching you and bringing you peace. And if something else happens, we repeat and repeat. It's a lifestyle. We keep receiving the gift of peace that surpasses all understanding. In Psalm 18, verse 2, there's a promise. The Lord is my solid rock, my fortress, my rescuer. My God is my rock. I take refuge in him. He's my shield, my salvation, strength, my place of safety. What's interesting to me in that text, and not once does it say that the person who's found shelter in the rock is unafraid, or they stopped having anxiety. What they've done is they've gone and found shelter and protection in the rock, on the rock. In my own mind, I picture a man or a woman standing on top of this rock, and they're trembling, but the rock never trembles. The rock gives sure footing. And what Paul is describing here for you and for me is in the midst of our own fears and anxiety to begin to develop a habit, new habits for dealing with our fear and anxiety. They come out of a 12-step world. You know, people that are in that world, so often what we say is they have a drug or an alcohol problem. I don't think they have a drug or alcohol problem. Most of the time what we have is a fear and anxiety problem. We have a shame problem. And we're numbing that fear and that anxiety. But as a follower of Christ, we can reorient our life after the example of Christ and tap into his spiritual resources so that we can stand on the rock, no matter what it is that's going around us, and find his peace and his salvation in that moment. Amen.